The Yukon Territory declares a climate emergency, and hunger draws Haines bears to the town site. This is your KHNS local news. I'm Claire Strempel. The stories are up next. Yukon's territorial government declared a climate emergency this month. What started as a milquetoast motion turned into a strong message that the Yukon Territory isn't afraid to get out in front on climate leadership. The Yukon government initially considered a passive motion that acknowledged the region's experience of unprecedented climate change. But New Democratic Party leader Kate White said that wasn't enough. The Yukon needed to declare a climate emergency. She didn't expect her progressive amendment to pass.
It was a bit of a surprise for me. It was voted on unanimously and it passed.
White says the declaration carries real weight. It means climate change will be a factor in future government decision-making. To what degree is hard to quantify. She says it's important for governments to acknowledge climate change, but northern governments in particular. Climate change happens faster in high-latitude regions.
So whether you're in Yukon or Alaska, we understand, you know, more than a lot of people, especially our southern cousins, why there's an issue with climate right now.
The action was sparked in part by global youth movements. She says watching those movements spread gave her hope that government could take on the issue and lead by example.
Then we're signaling to other governments, levels of government, that, you know, you should follow suit because the decisions you make affect your neighbors. More than anything, it's not just what happens in Yukon that affects Yukon. It's decisions that are made in Australia that affect us. Decisions we make here affect you next door. Decisions you make, you know, affect, you know, us and others.
White says that when it comes to climate change, there is no room for compromise. The unanimous vote from members of the Yukon Legislative Assembly is a strong sign that leaders across the territory agree. A man was charged by a bear in Haines on Wednesday. He did not sustain any injuries. Meanwhile, numerous residents have reported bears getting into compost piles, freezers, and other food sources this month. Representatives with Alaska Department of Fish and Game say that unsecured garbage and other attractants have been drawing more bears to populated areas this year. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports.
As bears try to pack on extra pounds before hibernating for the winter, it is not uncommon for them to look for food in town. But Fish and Game biologist Carl Koch says this year seems different.
Boy, there's a heck of a lot of bears.
Koch says when he started working as a wildlife manager for Haines in 2015, there was only one problem bear on everybody's radar. According to Anthony Krupe, a bear researcher with Fish and Game, 10 different bears have been spotted around town in the past month. Most local bears spent the summer gorging on berries due to weak pink and chum salmon runs. Krupe says there aren't a lot of options for food right now.
It's just really not a lot of fish still available. The berries are essentially done up at higher elevations, and so when we make it available for them to find food around our homes and places like the landfill, that really creates an additional challenge.
Krupe says that outdoor freezers and unsecured garbage are drawing them to town. Last weekend, state troopers cited a man for piling garbage behind his house on FAA Road that had attracted three brown bears to the area. The property owner was fined $320. A few days later, Koch says a man was charged by a bear outside of an apartment complex on 2nd Avenue.
He went outside for a smoke, encountered the bear, which did charge him, and then left.
Koch says the apartment complex had trouble keeping bears out of its dumpster in the week leading up to the charge. The dumpsters have since been emptied, and Community Waste Solutions is working to secure them. Law enforcement are not searching for the bear that charged the man. Krupe says the priority is reducing the amount of bear attractants that are out in the open.
And in most of these instances, these bears are not looking for a fight. They're always looking to kind of work between the cracks, and when they can get away from people, they do.
Koch says it is important to be bear aware by traveling in groups while walking through wooded areas, carrying a flashlight or headlamp at night, keeping dogs leashed if they aren't under voice control, and carrying a deterrent such as bear spray. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
The seasons for sea cucumbers and gooey duck clams opened in early October. Both are prized seafood delicacies harvested by divers from the ocean floor. Cucumbers are a bottom-dwelling creature that resemble their vegetable namesake and are sold on a mix of Asian and domestic markets. Pete Doherty is co-executive director of the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association. It's an industry group based in Ketchikan. He explains that a disease decimating sea stars up and down the coast impacted a predator of sea cucumbers as well.
And that has allowed the things that they eat, like sea cucumbers, to have kind of a resurgence in population. So that's why we're seeing large numbers of sea cucumbers around, because we've lost a major predator of them. On the downside of that a little bit is that they're on, the sea cucumbers are a little bit on the small side, and we're dealing with an immature population that started to blossom here about 3-4 years ago. So the cukes are a little bit smaller than what the market would like, but there's a lot of them.
More cucumbers means more industry interest. There are around 200 divers fishing this year, up from the typical 170. Meanwhile, the dive fishery for gooey duck clams has a lower guideline harvest level this year. The large clams are plucked from the ocean floor and shipped whole and live to overseas markets, if the clams don't test too high, for paralytic shellfish poisoning or inorganic arsenic. There was some diving in early October, but PSP levels were too high, and the fishery stayed closed until the middle of the month. Doherty says that in the past, most areas would pass PSP testing. Lately, it's more like 25%.
There are some areas, as I said, over the past 2 or 3 years, that we've harvested all through the wintertime and into late spring, and we cannot get them to pass PSP testing. So there's something happening here over the past 4 years, 5 years, but really 4 years, that has really affected our PSP levels in Southeast Alaska. And I don't want to hazard a guess on that, but it's pretty obvious.
That fishery can run through the winter and into the spring, depending on ocean conditions and fishing time. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strimple. Thanks for joining us.